Take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 28, inspired word of God recording the resurrection of the Savior and the visitation by an angel to women, certain women, and then the visitation of Jesus himself to these women. We read from Matthew 28 in the first 15 verses, and we learn that though many be happy and elated, if somewhat even bewildered by the resurrection of the Savior, not everyone is happy, and some are even seeking to keep Jesus in the tomb. Matthew 28, the first 15 verses. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. For he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Thus far we read the account of the resurrection and appearances of angels and Jesus and on that marvelous Easter Sunday morning. I'm going to speak presently, beloved, of that visit of Jesus to these bewildered and yet so happy women on Easter Sunday morning. But I want to start out this sermon with the rather perplexing and yet even devilish news that many deny Jesus' resurrection, and they would, even if they could, keep him in the grave. And they want you to be convinced and persuaded that not only is it impossible, but it's absurd that one would rise from the dead, and certainly this Jesus, with all the claims that he made, he's not risen. And that's going on today as we speak. I imagine the atheists are meeting, maybe the Jehovah's false witnesses who deny the divinity of Christ and who would therefore, by implication and directly, deny anything that would be of significance of the resurrection of the Savior. I'm referring to all of the secular humanists of the day, the people who are time-bound and earth-bound and who would know nothing of things eternal, nothing of things that with men are impossible, but with God are possible. Referring, beloved, to the same thing that occurred back then on the very first day when Jesus rose from the dead. And after that, when the Jewish leaders themselves were seeking to suppress the truth of the risen Savior by their lies and by their bribes of guards to say that Jesus' body was simply stolen away. And so there's all of these these theories that are concocted and spun, and the convincing arguments that people would make against the resurrection of Jesus. And we know why, beloved, and we must know why, and our young people must know why they do this. It's not simply because they don't have the facts or aren't persuaded of the facts of the Bible. That's one thing. They're ignorant, to be sure. But it's a willing suppression of all the truth as it is in Jesus. For you see, you deny that he's risen, and you must, because if he is risen, if Jesus Christ is risen, then his death was truly the death of death. And his death means everything he said, that it is a death for sin and for sinners. And people who deny the resurrection, you see, are very busy denying sin and denying the need of a crucified Savior and of a resurrected Savior. And so they're denying their need of God. And they're saying, we can do fine. We don't need God. And they deny the resurrection because of that. Well, we are here this morning as God's church, Church of Jesus Christ, to declare once again, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Amen and amen. It is a fact of the Word of God. It is a fact that we know in our very soul. It is a fact that we know by our experience that he is risen for us, and he's met with us, and he's told us, rejoice, it's true, I have conquered the grave and death and your sin. We declare that here. Long ago, when Jesus first appeared, he declared that in all of his appearances, no less than 10 recorded in the Bible over the 40 days between his resurrection and ascension. And these appearances are called in the book of Acts so many infallible proofs of his resurrection. And the Bible in so many other ways declares the veracity of the claim and of the truth, the historicity and the salvation significance of this great event, this event of events, Jesus' resurrection. And so, beloved, we consider this morning a certain Sunday morning meeting of Jesus and women where their faith was verified. Their joy in the Savior was confirmed and bolstered so that we ourselves, beloved, can meet once again with the Savior and he with us through his angel preaching, yours truly, man of God, even though very earthly, yet from heaven to declare to you the truth as it is in Jesus. This is for us to put our trust in him. Perhaps we've been wayward. Perhaps we've been doubting. Perhaps we've never really attached any real significance to this resurrection in our lives showing. For you, beloved, the word comes as it did to the women. There's a meeting that Jesus would have with you right now. Come and hear what the Savior would say. First of all, we want to talk about this Sunday morning meeting, which occurred in verses 9 and 10 of Matthew 28, as the women who went out in obedience to the angel were going to tell the disciples. They met with Jesus. Jesus met them, I should say, and he said, rejoice. We want to talk about that meeting. Then we want to talk about the Sunday morning worship. It was a Sunday morning meeting for a Sunday morning worship. And finally, we make some application to this today in light of the fact that so many deny, and we're prone to deny the significance of the resurrection in our own lives. So happily, Sunday after is my final point. But Sunday morning meeting, first of all. As they went, the women to tell the disciples, and they just met an angel, Jesus met them. This is so touching. Jesus comes to these women, and we don't know too much of them, though there are some significant accounts of these women. And the other Gospels record, this is Mary Magdalene, this Gospel records that too, 28 verse 1. And there's Joanna, we read in Luke, and there's another Mary, and there's other women here. And various of these have been affected by Jesus in one way or another, but they are true believers. They're so devoted. They come to prepare Jesus' body further for a proper burial. And so they come with spices, and they come and they're mystified. They don't know how they're going to roll away the tomb and all of these things. They've been with Jesus to the end. They've been there through Good Friday when all the other disciples fled away. The women were there. And then they went and they followed the people who carried Jesus' body to the tomb. And they noted where he'd been laid. And here they are in the early dawn. And you know, before this, Jesus coming to them, they had met Jesus. Do you know that, children? They met Jesus when they met his angel. That angel who came, that angel of the Lord who came and who spoke to the women at this time, he was a messenger of Jesus. He didn't come on his own. This angel was sent from heaven, sent from Jesus himself to minister to these poor women and to many other. They're ministering spirits for the heirs of God. These wonderful angel beings, these messengers from heaven. Well, the angel had come and he'd been this preparation for the meeting of Jesus. And he'd done three things to them. First of all, he convicted the women of their sinfulness. The women were being sinful here. Now, we don't want to be too hard on them. But they should have believed Jesus who said, I'm going to rise from the dead. And if you look at Luke 24 and the account there of the angel speaking to these women, he says to them, what are you doing here? Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen. Don't you remember what he said to you? The Son of Man is going to be delivered to the hands of wicked men and suffer and die. But after 3 days, rise again from the dead. Don't you remember, you women? Oh, you're devoted, but you're seeking the living one among the dead. And so the angel rebukes them. But then this lovely angel from Jesus, remember, and through whom the women would get a glimpse of the truth and grace in Jesus, the angel comforts them too. Not only convicts them and rebukes them, but comforts them. The angel says to the woman, do not be afraid. This is verse 5 of Matthew 28. Don't be afraid. Angels are always having to say that. Angels were pretty scary looking. They came from heaven, bright and shining, and we're not sure about what they appeared, but they appeared, and they've been with God. And God among sinners is a scary thing when all you think about is your sin and your unworthiness, and that's a good thing to think about, first of all. So these angels were trembling. And so the angel is saying, as he always had to say, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. And I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. I know your motive is good. I know you're getting something of what it is to be a disciple of Jesus because you were there at that cross. And there's something that has been worked in you that still believes in him who's dead. Or you think is dead. And then the angel comforts them with the word, he's not here, for he's risen, as he said. Verse 6. And for affirmation of your faith in what I just said, that he's not here, he's risen, come, see the place where the Lord lay. What a pedagogue. What a teacher. How gentle. How kind. How faithful to Jesus this angel. And then, after the conviction of sin and the consolation, there's a commission to these women. They, you see, would be the first of preachers. Oh, yes. These were women in the office of all believer. These were women. Such an unlikely visit of an angel to women and then of Jesus to women. But then this commission, you go and go quickly, don't lollygag. and you tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead, and indeed he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And they oblige the angel. They go. They went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. How fast do you think you would have run, children? You heard that angel and you were convicted. You were swept off your feet. I wonder if their feet touched the ground. I really do. They ran. They ran. They went so quickly and toward those disciples. And there they're going. And as they go, behold, verse 9, this is noteworthy. Behold, the text says, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. Oh, here's something. Again, I indicated that in a very important way, when the angel had met them, the angel had spoken to them, they were hearing of Jesus. They were having a kind of meeting with Jesus, because when an angel or anyone brings the truth as it is in Jesus, you're meeting and hearing Jesus himself. Well, don't want to say that this angel was a kind of a warm-up angel for now the real act, but there's something like it. There's a continuity between the angel's meeting and now Jesus. But this is the great thing. The meeting of Jesus personally by these women. Or I should say, Jesus' meeting of them by himself. Because that's what happened here. It wasn't a chance meeting. The women didn't stumble across Jesus. They didn't interfere with where he was going somewhere else. Jesus purposely met them. He had arranged that he would meet them. He met them. He stepped out of nowhere, it seems, after having stepped out of the tomb, and he met these women. What a meeting! What a meeting! Now, what kind of body he had? A little different than ours, I should tell you. This body later on would be able to go through doors. And though it could eat fish that was offered to him on the shore of the lake, yet, nevertheless, there was something about this body that bespoke his glorification, his beginning of the ascent to glory to the right hand of God. A real human body, crucified and with the nail prints in the hands and the feet. And yet, this Jesus in this glorified body must have looked the same, and yet something different about him, and everything really about him, remember, bespoke victory. Here's the conquering king. Here's the one whom death could not hold. And here's the one who obeyed the Father perfectly, absolutely perfectly, as the head of the covenant on behalf of his own. Here's the sin bearer. Here's the one who had 3 days ago cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And there was the darkness descending upon him. And there he was, plunging into hell itself. For us, being cast out of the presence of God and not knowing the favor of God, that we ourselves might never be cast out of the favor of God, but might be reconciled. They meet him. They meet him who's the Son of God, incarnate, crucified, resurrected. What a meeting. What a meeting. And what a greeting. Jesus met them saying, rejoice. King James has all hail. That word is literally rejoice. Philippians 4, root of the same word. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. The word is translated in different places, hail, as a greeting. Hail the King of the Jews, the Romans said, mocking Jesus. Judas, in betrayal of Jesus, says, hail, Master. Same word. Certainly didn't mean grace, Master, nor did the Romans. But Jesus here is saying grace to you or joy to you. Now, what a meeting with this greeting. What a Sunday morning meeting greeting. Jesus initiates the contact. That's grace. Jesus says grace to you or joy to you. Joy to you. You bewildered ones, joy and peace. Be bewildered no more, but believe. Jesus is commanding them. Show the appropriate response of those who truly get it. He's crucified for sins and He's risen for justification more. Jesus is saying here, you women and all you who hear now at this meeting, you personally rejoice. You believe in me and not just a creed. You know not just that it is true, He is risen. But you know He is risen for you. There's just no other way that the women could rejoice, or that we can rejoice, if this is not for us. And Jesus will be saying something that's impossible and nearly theoretical. He's not. He's coming, and it's a wonderful Sunday morning meeting and greeting with grace and joy and the kingdom of heaven, and prompts Sunday morning worship. It does. First response of those whom Jesus meets after He's risen. So they came and held Him by the feet and worshiped Him. How lovely. How important for our instruction. You know Jesus, beloved? Do you know Him, congregation? Do you know Him, you who are hearing Jesus, maybe for the first time? Meeting Jesus, or Him meeting you for the first time, is what He's saying is appropriate. Here's what the Word of God is saying is the only response, the only first and principal response of everyone who beholds Jesus and who are met by Jesus, who are confronted in their sins by Jesus. Here it is. You reach down, you bow down, you fall down, and you grab His feet as if desperate for any bit of Him, anything that you can lay hold of Him, but knowing you're not worthy. You're not worthy to hug Him. You're not worthy to simply say, how you doing, pal? Of course not. He's your Lord. He's your God. He's your Savior if He's risen for you. That's what we're taught here. The principle, the main, the first response of believers in the resurrected Savior. Worship. Holding Him, clinging to Him by the feet, bowing down and revering Him. And then showing the fruit of those who hear Jesus' commission. Two or three things here. Jesus, the women worship. He says them, He reminds them again, do not be afraid. Hadn't the angel just said that, children? Jesus says it again. Do not be afraid. Afraid of what? A lot of things. A lot of things we can be afraid of. Sin. Our own sin. Other people's sin. They don't like the fact that we're going to go and tell the world about Jesus. And the consequences of this fallen world in which it seems that grace isn't having its way and Jesus is not risen and this life is nothing but a heartache and all of that. We can be afraid of all these things of this world. Jesus says, don't be afraid. That's inappropriate. I've just told you rejoice. I've just told you be glad in me. I've just told you find your life in me. And don't be afraid. If it doesn't even appear like your life is in me, because it is true, I'm risen, and I'm risen for you. That's what he's saying here. He's emphasizing negatively what it means to rejoice. It means to be careful not to let your Savior down by going about worrying and doubting and being so befuddled by this world and circumstances that you raise your hands up in disgust and unbelief, and you live as an unbeliever who has never met Jesus. How needed, isn't it? The word of the Savior to us today. So afraid. So fearful, right? So afraid. So doubting. He says, don't do that. And now, don't just stand there. Keep on running, ladies. Children, go, he says. Go on. Keep going on your way. The angel was right. He's my angel. I'm going to tell you the same thing. You go and you tell my disciples. You tell those ones who are huddling about. You tell them, my brethren, the family of God. You tell them to go to Galilee. There they will see me. There's those preachers again, those women. You go and tell the disciples. You go and tell the apostles. You go and tell them. You confirm in them the truth of the resurrection of which they're becoming apprised. When the women go and so on. There's some other things that have been happening, but the women will tell them and confirm their faith in the risenness of the Savior. Go and tell. This is it, beloved. Don't be afraid. Be glad. And this amounts to believe. Believe. Take for yourself, appropriate for yourself, receive for yourself the Savior and His promises. And now, respond. You believe that Jesus paid it all. You believe that He's risen again. He's the only way to God. You believe in the sovereignty of grace. Well, what does that mean? It means this responsibility of the people who know the sovereignty of grace. It means you are righteous, now go. It means you are not condemned, now go. And with this main activity, the communication of the gospel, you go and tell. Interesting. Jesus doesn't say what? Go and tell my disciples, my brethren. But he doesn't say what? They knew, of course. Go and tell them about me. Go and tell them about this living Savior you know and that he worshipped and who met you and who doesn't now hold it against you that you are just like those sinners who were crucifying me, and you are just like those inner ignorant ones who thought that the kingdom would come in a kind of Davidic sense, an Old Testament way. You just like them. Oh, Jesus, you're going to tell them Jesus came and he still wants to meet with us. He still loves us. He still is ours. He still is faithful, just as he had been. Final point, beloved, is this, though. I want us to reflect. And I want us to go back to this introduction in which I pointed out what we know, that there's not a lot, it seems, of real celebration of Easter. Now, I know there's a cultural celebration. I find Easter and the resurrection of the Savior to be made culturally friendly. There's a culturally friendly Easter nowadays. Easter bunnies and bonnets and all these traditions in America. And the C&E Christians come out. Christmas and Easter Christians. But they're not real. They're not real. They're compromised and emasculated. They're cream puff and eviscerated Christians. They're not Christianity or Christians with the heart. And the proof of it is this. There's this life after church that bespeaks the fact they don't meet with Jesus every day. You see, here's a meeting. Here's a Sunday morning meeting of women with Jesus. And so many say, yeah, we met with Jesus and we know him and we believe him. But it's like they don't get it on Monday. And there's this whole world, and even us, even Christians so-called, can go and they say, we love the Master. And yet they're more concerned in a golf tournament and the score than in the peace, presence, and power of God. So many like that, beloved. They hold the truth under by a lifestyle. Oh, they're like the mutual fund Christians. They hedge. They put their stock in these things, in these things, and in Christianity. That's the problem. And I want to say to all here and to anyone who may hear this message that wherever you're at, if you're in this situation and you're not like these women who are truly devoted to Jesus, though they be deluded, but you yourselves are deluding yourself and maybe just thinking this whole Christianity thing is a bunch of silliness, and you've heard it before. Nevertheless, though you think it's all silliness and stuff and nonsense, and it doesn't meet your logic, doesn't meet your world, doesn't satisfy your needs, if you think that way, nevertheless, Jesus is meeting you today in the preaching of the gospel, in his angel from heaven, yours truly, in the word that I declare. Jesus is meeting you today. He's meeting you. The meeting, however, is not a happy one. You walk in your sins, you deny the Savior, and you're saying, we'll give Jesus half our life, and so on. It's not a happy one because Jesus isn't happy. He's confronting you. It's a confrontation meeting. It is. In the preaching of the gospel, there's a confrontation to all walking in unbelief and devoted to the service of themselves. There's a confrontation of the Jesus who is risen in the preaching of the gospel every Sunday and in the echoes of that sermon from every day to every day of all of those who say, Jesus is risen, okay, fine, but we're just going to go on with life. Or maybe who are so depressed and so downcast that they really can't believe that his resurrection is sufficient for them to really live and rejoice. Jesus is confronting you. And when he greets, and the greetings and the message is all about the grace of God in Jesus, and you hear that message and you say, who needs it? There's a conviction of your sin and of our sin, in as much as we say, no, it's not for me. Maybe we'll be like some of those guards even, who, did you catch that? The guards, you know what happened to them, children, when the angel came and there was this great earthquake, the angel sat upon a stone, his countenance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. They didn't move. They were stone. They were as stony as the rock. Later on, verse 11, while the women were going to the disciples, some of the guard came to the city, reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to those guards, to those soldiers. And they said, tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we'll appease him and make you secure. So they took the money, they took the bribe, and they did as they instructed. And this saying that Jesus' body was stolen is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. I want to submit to you today, beloved, that the bribes are still being offered. The bribes are still being offered by the whole world that wants none of a risen Jesus who is Savior and Lord. The world doesn't want it. And it will bribe especially confessing Christians by saying, here, you can have the world. You can have what we offer and a little bit of Jesus. But just don't be so caught up, so fanatic, so much of a disciple who says Jesus is the only way and the truth and the life. It's a bribe. It's a bribe. Have the world and Jesus too. Have Jesus in the world too. You taking it? Are we taking it? Jesus comes to us and he says, don't be bribed. Believe. Be my disciple. Repent of such foolishness. To reject Jesus, crucified and risen, is to reject Almighty God. What are you going to do? For those of us, beloved, who believe, but just about that much, that's all. That's me. Just a little faith. Here's a word, though. Just like to those women, Jesus meets us today. He says, I love you. I love you. I love you. Oh, you're so little faith. But you know what? I'm here for people of little faith. I'm here for the weak. I'm here for the sinful. I'm here for the ones who go this way and that way and the other way. And I'm saying, you just come this way. I'm here for you when you fall. That's what Jesus is saying today. I'm really your life. Even you who've messed up your life. I'm really your life. Your forgiver. The forgiver of your sins. And now, you listen to me, won't you? Because you, people, who are already mine, I want to encourage you. I want to do even more than that. I want to make you so happy, you kick up your feet and you dance for once. I want you to make you so happy that you know how to deal with life's problems in light of me, the risen one. I want you to be mine. I want you to be my brothers and my sisters. And I want you to be the children of God. I want you to show off the glory of my name, the sufficiency of my life. Really. And I want you to tell. And I want you, Sovereign Grace Church, to go tell it. Tell it to all and bring them to the Word and bring them to the resurrected Savior so they can meet Him and they can hear His Word under the official preaching of the Gospel. But you, remember, you're preachers too. If those women were, well, you can be. Tell it. Well, you did it when He was born. You go tell it on the mountain. Jesus Christ is born. Well, continue. He's born. He's crucified. He's risen. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we praise your name. Your Son is risen. All is well. And he's risen now to your right hand. And there's this wonderful, wonderful enthronement so that all things are now working together for good. to those who love you and who go to the empty tomb and who are met by Jesus who says, I'm risen. And who hear the voice of angels now. Now you, fear not. Now you go tell. Hear our prayers, Lord, and bless us with the exhilaration of those who know the risen Savior and rejoice. Amen.